World War II, the Russians lost somewhere around 27 million people. They were still feeling the effects of World War II in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed. But they had gone through tough times for 40 years, and they were used to it. Americans are fat, dumb, and happy, and they're not prepared, and it's going to be far worse. We're probably going to have a civil war. There are going to be people starving in the United States. There are people who are going to freeze in the United States. The cost of fuel, it's going to go through the roof. The cost of food, it's going to go through the roof. And it's end of the empire, and people are not prepared.
All right, welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by Bob Moriarty, who is just an extraordinary man, an extraordinary American, and who has done incredible feats in his life, mostly involving aircraft and other things. But he joins us today because he has an outlook of what's happening financially and with the energy infrastructure destruction that is taking place in the Middle East. And Bob has warnings for you that you should pay attention to, in my opinion. So welcome, Mr. Bob Moriarty. It's always an honor to have you on, sir.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. It's been too long.
It has been too long, but I'm a fan of your work, and I've been watching you on other interviews, and you nail it every time. That's why I wanted to reach out to you and get you back on. So give us your take right now in the context that two of the 14 natural gas trains, as they're called, they're really, you know, cryogenic liquefaction centers, they have now been destroyed of the company Qatar Energy. They've declared force majeure on long-term delivery contracts to many countries, including European countries and Asian countries as well, and that it will take 3 to 5 years for those two to be repaired. And Iran is threatening to destroy even more in retaliation for Israel's strikes. So can we start there and give us your take on what this means for the world?
Okay, I'm going to ask a trick question. I don't mean to embarrass you. How old are you?
Oh, no, this is an easy question. I noticed you ask a lot of questions of the host on other shows. Well, I'm in my 50s, Bob. So I'm in my mid-50s. Okay. I was born in the 60s, okay? So that's how old I am.
Okay, you would have barely remembered it. How much do you remember about 1973 in the Arab oil embargo?
Oh, no, I don't remember that at all. I remember 79. I remember the gas lines under Jimmy Carter and all that discussion, but I don't remember 73 at all.
Okay, I was hoping you were old enough to remember it, but basically, the Arabs looked at what's going on between Israel and the other Arab countries and the Palestinians, and they declared an oil embargo. The price of oil went from $3 a barrel to $12 a barrel. But the difference between then and now, and 1979 and now, is they just flipped the switch. They turned it off, but they could turn it back on. Now, it's interesting because you're one of the very few people that I know who understands those gas trains. And I didn't even know there was such thing, but somebody sent me an article. Do you happen to remember when you were reading that article how thick the walls are?
Well, no, I don't know the thickness of the walls, but I know that the key component are the cryogenic heat exchangers that have about a 3 to 4 year wait time per unit. So if they're damaged, then that takes that train offline for 3 to 4 years. And the Qatar Energy CEO is saying up to five years right now for two of them. So if 14 go offline, that's estimated to take 10 to 15 years to rebuild. So I call it the decade of famine.
Okay. Those basically are giant gas tanks, and they travel from plant to the ships, and they have to keep the LNG cold.
That's right.
The walls of the tank are 7 inches thick.
Wow.
Okay. So you're not going to go down to Walmart and pick up, excuse me, I need to buy 4 of those trains. It's not going to happen. Here's what, I'm going to give you a few things nobody knows. The attack on Iran had nothing to do with anything Iran did other than where it's located. It was initially planned in the clean break from the peace process, and you can go to Google, look it up. That was 40 years ago. And then in September, October 2001, General Wesley Clark went to the Pentagon, and he met with one of his subordinates from when he was on active duty. And his subordinate said, "General, you've got to read this. This just came down from DOD, and we are going to attack 7 countries in 5 years. We've got Libya, we've got Lebanon, we've got Syria, we've got Somalia, we've got Sudan, we've got
Afghanistan,
Iraq. Yeah. I don't think Afghanistan was on that list.
No.
But Iran was the last one on the list. And sure enough, it's taken 25 years, but Israel finally got around to attacking Iran. Now, the fatal flaw to the attack is Iran didn't do anything to the United States. They didn't threaten the United States. They are not the terrorists. Country in the Middle East. There is one terrorist war criminal country in the Middle East whose leaders are under sanctions, and the UN wants to arrest them, charge them with war crimes, and it's not Iran.
Yeah, it's another country that starts with I.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's Israel. But there is no Iranian nuclear weapons program, and that's a false flag that the Israel firsters keep bringing up. It's total bullshit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It doesn't exist. It hasn't existed since 2003. And basically, right out of the blue, in the midst of negotiations, the United States and Israel commit another sneak attack on Iran. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years, and I was in Vietnam for 20 months, and I had over 800 missions. I got a lot of combat. It only took the Iranians 30 minutes to launch the first missile. It was a sneak attack. Israel attacked the headquarters of the Supreme Leader, which happens to be an illegal act according to international law. They killed him and most of the leadership of Iran, and they believed they were going to decapitate Iran. And it didn't work because Iran, the generals had separated the country into 31 different sections, and each section is totally independent. So you can keep whacking the guys at the top, but you're still going to get attacked. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to tell you something I doubt anybody else has told you. When you're planning and studying and preparing for war, what is your opponent doing?
Well, probably the same thing.
Exactly the same thing. So if the Iranians looked at it and the Supreme Leader, who was 86, and he had been told, don't buy any green bananas, okay? He knew they were going to try to kill him. And he was prepared to be a martyr, and he did, and it took out the entire leadership. Are you aware that Benjamin Netanyahu's son just ended a 7-day Shiva period.
Yes, yes. It's rumored that that's in mourning for the death of his father, but not yet confirmed.
I was a combat officer. We had to make life or death decisions based on fragments of information. Combat is not a courtroom. You don't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. You have reasonable to believe information. Jews do not hold Shiva for fun.
Right.
If Bibi Netanyahu's son held Shiva, it means Bibi Netanyahu's dead. But here's what I really enjoy. Lawrence Wilkinson lived in Israel for 2 years, and he said the Israelis are the biggest liars in the world. They lie about absolutely everything. You can't believe anything they say. They haven't said a word about Bibi Netanyahu. They keep coming up with AI-generated videos that are obviously fake, and Bibi has grown 6 fingers instead of 5 fingers on one hand. But Bibi Netanyahu is dead. Now, that's the good news, okay? Because Bibi Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir are back with their buddy Satan, and they're burning in hell.
Right. They just went back home.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's where they came from.
You want the bad news?
Yeah.
You want the bad news?
Yeah.
What's the latest news from the Epstein files about Jeffrey Epstein?
I think he's still alive.
He is still alive. They literally have released a document saying they switched people. They took Jeffrey Epstein out. I have seen videos of Jeffrey Epstein in Israel, and I've seen a video where he said, we control Donald Trump, and if he doesn't do what we tell him to do, we'll kill him. And even the name of the operation from Donald Trump tells you exactly what the story is. Now, do you remember what the name of this operation is?
Well, Epstein Fury, I think, is the...
Epstein Fury, absolutely.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
If you think about it, you probably figure out exactly what they're trying to do. This is scary. I was in the military. I saw operations. We did things. We had hundreds of people working on plants, working on the operations. Now, as soon as the first bullet is fired, okay, all the plans go out the window. But the United States stepped into this, and this is like walking through a field with 200 cows in it. It doesn't make any difference where you step. You're going to step in a cow paddy. And some of the things that are so absurd, there was an operation and they attacked a military base and they were using old information, and a tomahawk went right into a Girl Scout or a girl's school and killed somewhere between 165 and 171 little girls. And of course, Donald Trump is incapable of admitting he makes mistakes. So his first reaction was, well, the Iranians did it. We wouldn't have attacked civilians. And then his second excuse, after it showed the Tomahawk missile hit the school, his second excuse was, well, yeah, it was a Tomahawk, but the Iranians probably stole the Tomahawk and they bombed the school itself.
That's ridiculous.
And I go, this guy is so weird. Yesterday, this operation hit a new, exceptionally dangerous level. And I'll go back to your original question. Qatar has been cut off financially for years. Okay. We could be talking 10 years to get back to where they are now. This is an existential war for Iran. They are fighting for their survival. and you never attack somebody who's not afraid of dying because there's no way you can defeat him. So the United States went in totally unprepared, no plans whatsoever, no reason whatsoever for getting into the war. The United States is having their ass kicked. And what did Donald Trump say? Well, okay, we finished. We're going to go home.
Okay, I mean, your analysis is spot on. And I want to ask you to dig a little bit deeper, given your history. You have flown over 800 missions, as you said. And that was in the Vietnam conflict. And I want you to contrast the level of planning and logistics that would take place at that time, especially when U.S. Marines were put into a place where they needed to be supported. Tell us about the contrast of the level of planning and logistics then versus now, where it seems like Trump is making this up day by day. He's reacting. He's reacting to Israel. He's reacting to Iran. He's not in control. He's not in charge, but he's a lunatic. I mean, he just makes things up every day.
Strange enough. Yeah, I mean, you're actually being nice, okay? He's shithouse rat crazy. Some of the things that he's doing are so ludicrous. Let me see if I can find a quote. Now, you know that the Chinese vessels have passage through the Strait of Hormuz. You're aware of that?
That's right. And there was a vessel bound for India that paid in yuan that Iran also allowed through.
Very, very good. Okay. Now, here's the key. Somebody has woken up to the fact that you cannot open the Strait of Hormuz physically with air power or naval power, because it's too easy to protect. So I'll tell you flat out, you can have 10 aircraft carriers, you cannot open the Strait of Hormuz. So the Iranians have said, if you pay in Chinese currency, or if you're a Chinese vessel or an Indian vessel, we'll give you free passage through. The commander of the IRGC Navy came up with the greatest quote that I've ever heard. Trump comes out and says, okay, we will ensure the vessels going through the Strait of Hormuz, and we will protect them. So the commander of the IRGC Navy said, we guarantee the security of any oil tanker under any flag that can convince an American destroyer to escort it through the Strait of Hormuz.
I was thinking the exact same thing when you were, I was thinking of that quote. That is genius and it's hilarious. And you notice that the U.S. Navy is not taking that bait because it would be a suicide mission, obviously.
Okay, it's been too long since we've done an interview, but do you recall from any of the interviews that you've heard of me, do you recall what I said about Iran closing the Strait of Hormuz?
Not specifically, no.
Okay, I said that it would take a Girl Scout troop of 15 girls equipped with 4 BB guns, some slingshots, a bow and arrow to close the Strait of Hormuz. I've said that for months. And Mike, I'm like Trump. I hate admitting I was wrong. And I said it would take 15 Girl Scouts to close the Strait of Hormuz. And Mike, I was wrong.
It only takes one?
12.
12. Well, see, you and I have said much the same thing in different ways. I've said also publicly many times, I said the Strait of Hormuz is not open until Iran says it's open, because clearly they can harass or even just credibly threaten to harass ships. And that alone is enough to cause the insurers, the maritime insurers, to yank their insurance policies. And without insurance, the ships don't sail, period. Now, what Iran is doing right now that I think is brilliant is, I mean, I've heard talk of this where they're going to say, we're just going to have a toll. 10% of your cargo value, and then you get safe passage because they have to rebuild all the war damage, you know?
Okay. Because I would say combat, I think it's a good idea to keep sense of humor. Certainly Donald Trump has no sense of humor. Take Hank Staff is a blithering idiot, okay?
And he's a source of humor.
You say no sense of humor, but you got to give the Iranians credit. They have an absolute sense of humor. And they said, oh, okay, we'll go ahead and screw around with us and we'll just charge 10% of the value of all the cargo through it. Frankly, it makes all the sense in the world. You know, yeah. If I was somebody shipping oil through, and it was either ship oil through and lose 10% or ship no oil through,
right,
I'd pay the 10% gladly. Now, if you go back to December of 1921 and you listen to Vladimir Putin and Lavrov, they laid out exactly the conditions for a war against Ukraine. And they said, okay, guys, here's the deal. You're going to have to stop attacking innocent civilians in Donbass. You got to get rid of the Nazis, and you're going to have to demilitarize. And they have never changed that. Now, if you listen to the Iranians are saying, okay, here's the deal. We got a lot more missiles than the CIA thinks we do, and we're going to keep attacking the United States, and we're going to keep attacking Israel, and we're going to do it until the United States is run out of the Middle East. And that's exactly what's going to happen, because countries like Qatar, they're going to have to sit, think about it, say, okay, who's our real enemy here? Is it Israel or is it Iran? And they're going to wake up one by one to the fact that their enemy is not Iran. Now, have you followed Ray Dalio, where he was talking about the sixth stage of a collapse of a country or an empire?
Well, no, I don't recall that specific thing. I've heard some of Ray's interviews, but not, I don't recall the sixth stage. But tell us about it.
Okay. Well, he wrote a book, and it's available on Amazon, and it's a bestseller, and he talks about these six stages. And the sixth stage is when the international order clearly breaks down, and there's no rules anymore, and people do whatever the hell they want to. And in the last couple of weeks, he's come out and said, okay, when Marco Rubio went to the Munich Security Conference a month ago, and he said, okay, we're the United States, and there's no rules. We can do whatever the fuck we want to, take it or leave it. And then Mark Carney got up and said, okay, there's no more rules anymore because they're rogue states doing whatever they feel like. So the international order is broken. Now, it's an interesting observation on Ray Dalio's part. Frankly, I think it's brilliant, but what comes after is more important, because he said once you get into the sixth stage, the collapse is sudden and it's a shock to everyone. And that's exactly what happened to Rome, I think, in 388, where they wanted to go to war against somebody. And countries started saying, take a hike. Now, do you recall what the Prime Minister of Spain said on the 4th of this month?
I think it was that the U.S. wasn't allowed to use any of the military bases from Spain in order to launch attacks on Iran.
Exactly. It's an illegal war. We do not support the war, and we are not going to allow the use of any Spanish facilities to support the war. There have been other interesting things happen. Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and Iceland have notified Israel that should an aircraft containing either Ben-Gvir or Benjamin Netanyahu ask for transit through their airspace, they would force the aircraft down and they would arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. And of course, they've got a sense of humor too, because what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest the casket?
Yeah, arrest his dead body, you know, and charge him, charge his corpse with war crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But
well,
probably needs to be done, you know, for history's purposes. But I get your point. And what's amazing to me is how all of these countries that you just mentioned, plus others around the world, have told Trump, no, we're not going to fight your war. And in fact, I think it was one of the leaders of Germany who recently came out, a woman. I saw her quote saying that clearly Trump had no plans for this. Like he stumbled into this and didn't have a plan for how to get out of it. Now, Trump had a plan for getting out of Vietnam, but not out of Iran, right?
Yeah, but that was Daddy.
Yeah, right.
He actually dodged the draft 7 times. Now, there are some weird coincidences in the world. George Bush Jr., Donald Trump, and I were born within 6 weeks of each other. Each of us graduated from high school in 1964. George Bush Jr. Went to Yale, okay? I went into the Marine Corps and became a fighter pilot. George Bush Jr. graduated from Yale, gets a free ride into Air Force flight training, gets into a reserve outfit with no chance whatsoever of going to Vietnam. So while I was flying missions over North Vietnam, George Bush was down in Mexico snorting coke. Donald Trump, on the other hand, doesn't snort coke and doesn't drink, but he is a draft dodger. But he did wear a military uniform once. Were you aware of that?
No.
Okay. When he was in high school, he was in ROTC.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Reserve Officer Training Corps. Yeah.
Wow.
So he wore a uniform and he walked around in the uniform. And when his time came to serve his country, Daddy brought him a doctor's note saying he had shin splits.
Wow. Wow. All right, so what I want to do here, Bob, there's a second part of this interview. And in that second part, I want you to focus, if you would, please, on the ramifications of everything that you've covered brilliantly in this part. We need to talk about the financial implications, the global poverty that seems inevitable, the reduced crop yields, food inflation, transportation difficulties, airlines shutting down, all of this. Can you give us a little teaser of that? Kind of what's your big picture overview of some of what I've just mentioned there?
Okay, one of the things that I have said, well, first of all, I'm a contrarian, okay? So everybody wants to disagree with me because if they agreed with me, I would be wrong. So I look at sentiment and I look at what people are saying and then I do exactly the opposite. So everybody wants to disagree, but I'm quite comfortable with that. I have been calling for the demise, the crash of the Western debt-based system for years, because it's obvious to me. It's corrupt. It's financially broken. We have the most corrupt government in history. I don't give a damn if people are Republicans or whether they're Democrats. There's one snake with two heads, and they're equally corrupt. But this literally is a turning point of 500 years of control of the world by the West, and it's ending. Okay, this is a far bigger thing than anybody realized. We can go into the specifics, okay, because this is easily 100 times worse than the Arab embargo of 1973 or the fuel crisis 1979. And nobody realizes it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. And we'll get into those details in part two of this interview. Let me give out your website. It's 321gold.com, where people can follow your work and your many appearances on various shows that are on YouTube and other platforms as well. So follow Bob's work at 321gold.com. And what's, Bob, what's the name of your very popular book again?
I got 10 of them.
No, the
three of them were on the Wall Street Journal bestseller last.
But there's one that I'm thinking of. It's an investment guide that I'm thinking of.
Well, basic investing in resource stocks for idiots.
Popular
book is Nobody Knows Anything. And I make the point that there's no such thing as experts or gurus.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, Bob, we're going to wrap up this part of the interview here. And then I want to encourage our audience to find the second part of this on our video site, brightvideos.com. And so, again, we've been speaking with Mr. Bob Moriarty, and his website is 321gold.com. And we will continue this interview in part two, talking about the global ramifications and the turning tides of history on a grand scale, on a historic scale, in part two of this interview. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for watching part one. And this continues in part two. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy. But here at the Health Rangers store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.